The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
New Rover Sports. We're top of perch here in Philly on the eve of Christmas and Hanukkah. And it's no less than 60 degrees. I just flew in from Palm Beach, Florida, and the temperature is exactly the same, except not as rainy here. So it is great being here, and it's a great time to be following the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles are the precipice of gaining a number one seed, and a number one seed that is unprecedented in the NFL, and that there's only one of them that derives a bye, and they are tied with the Detroit Lions, albeit down a tiebreaker. Josh, let's talk about the game, the Battle of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth game, and then we will go around the horn and talk a little bit about whether this team really has what it takes to win another Super Bowl.
Well, Doc, I find it amazing that Jalen Hurts can actually throw the ball. Like last week, there was nothing but controversy. He doesn't know how to complete a pass. He's forgotten how to throw because this team was so run central. A.J. Brown and him were no longer best friends. It was a disaster. Philadelphia was falling apart on a team that had won 9 straight games. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Well, Saquon doesn't run it as often. And A.J. Brown's a figurehead in the lineup. Had a nice touchdown. Wow, very active. And oh my God, they're like brothers again. It's just amazing, you know, just like Christmas Day. All of a sudden, 10 straight wins, Doc. This team looks great. Defensively, they look solid as can be. You're looking at Cooper Dejean. Quinyon Mitchell is a stud. He looks like a 5 or 6 year season vet. He's out there as a rookie. He's one of the top players. Zach Vaughn, in my opinion, should be up for Defensive Player of the Year. He just makes every tackle. This team is humming at the right time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And from an injury standpoint, many of the people here on Rover Sports were 97.5 HD2 live if you want to hear a clear signal. Or if you want to follow us on your phone, www.dbam.com. And we're here with the Rovers. Spencer G.
Yep.
We've got Charlie Bowles logging in. We have to thank Bobby Lewis for being such a great daughter to Dr. Stephen Laurie Lewis. She just got her confirmation, whatever they call it. She passed her bar exam, and she now is a fully barred attorney in a very beautiful ceremony. I saw videos of it. So we're going to clap.
She was sworn in
for the Lewis families, and as you were saying.
She was sworn in, doctor.
Sure, that's what it was. A swearing-in ceremony. Was that in Philly? Was that at City Hall?
I believe it was, doctor.
A swearing-in ceremony. So Steve, most of the time, is saving lives, but now I'm sure he's out dining with his family and celebrating a great family occasion, and he certainly gets a pass tonight. Spencer,
yes.
You watched the game with
yes.
me. In fact, you had 3 TVs going.
Yes.
You watched your beloved Broncos win a game that was a nail-biter, and they won going away. And we also watched your secondly beloved Steelers not win that game.
They did not.
And so what did you see in that Eagles-Steelers game?
Well, it was incredible. I mean, the final drive, the Eagles took, I believe, like 10 minutes of clock on the final drive. And I just have a couple of stats, which are pretty jarring stats. So Jalen Hurts, as a quarterback in the NFL, he's 46-19, which is an absolute great record for a quarterback, 46-19. But in this particular game, the Eagles ran 77 plays to the Steelers' 41 plays. The Eagles had 400 yards of offense to the Steelers' 163 yards. So it was true dominance, 26 first downs to 10. The Eagles just running the football. They just mastered the art of salting away a game. And it isn't an 8-minute drill. It isn't a 4-minute drill. It's like a 12-minute drill. I mean, that was one of the longest drives in Eagles history. The Eagles have been around since 1933. They've never won 10 games in a row, and they've done it. Against the Steelers. Great defense. The game didn't even go smoothly. The Eagles had 2 turnovers. Hurts had a fumble, and then Cooper Dejean had a fumble at the 5. The Eagles' defense, though, as Josh said, stood really tall. They're a very, very complete team. When you take away Barkley, then Smith and A.J. Brown are going to factor in. So there really doesn't look like a blueprint to stop this team. The only way that you can stop the Eagles is by taking away their coordinators in the offseason. Because when they have good coordinators, they're a team that's really the top of the NFC. And the Detroit Lions, Josh, they look like a team that's vulnerable. Defensively, they look vulnerable. Now, is Detroit going to get the one seed? That's probably the only chance to beat the Eagles is for the Lions to get that one seed. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, they have to. I mean, you talk about vulnerable. Detroit's the top of the NFC, Spencer. Like, they're very good. Jared Goff, outside of Josh Allen, Jared Goff is having an MVP type of year. He really is. His completion percentage is off the charts right now. The guy seems to find anybody and everybody from Amon St. Brown to David Montgomery, who recently got injured, from Sam Laporta. He has fine targets. He's making plays. Their defense, yeah, they're giving up a lot of points. But if you look at that Buffalo game, Buffalo-Detroit game, there was over 80 points scored. It was ridiculous, Doc.
Yeah.
And granted, Buffalo has the MVP and Josh Allen.
I think
Allen.
If we say that defense wins games, this Eagles defense just gets better every week, like you say. N'Kobe Dean, the way he's tackling Zach Bond. My big fear with Zach Bond is, obviously, I'd like to see they better re-sign him.
Yeah.
Better re-sign him. Because we had a tackle machine.
Tremaine Edmonds. I misspoke. The guy from Chicago, right? That's who you're going to allude to.
Edwards. T.J. Edwards. So yeah. We had a tackle machine who looked past. And still, but Zach Bond is playing on a different level. And you see everybody. You see Milton Williams. You see Josh Sweat is really playing. Everybody's peaking. And Jalen Carter is a complete beast. He reminds me a lot of Fletcher Cox. He's playing that role. He's taking two big offensive guards, and he's just tying them up so the other guys could come in and get the sacks. And I think that looking at the team, the only guy who actually missed last week was a guy who probably could have played. Britton Covey has what you could call a stinger or neck strain. When they use the word stinger, it's usually a neck problem that doesn't involve a herniated disc. It's not a surgical problem. So Britt Covey actually played full participant Thursday and Friday, but they opted to have him not play. Cooper DeJean is running back punch, and as Seth Joyner said, it is always an adventure. I love Cooper DeJean on the back end, but certainly his decisions whether to catch the ball, whether to let it go, whether he fumbles it. I look at Covey, he's a real professional punt returner, and I think he's a cut above Cooper DeJean. And when you think about that, other than Brandon Graham, who's out for the year, the whole team is healthy.
Which is remarkable.
So it's really
how
remarkable.
How about Dallas Goedert?
And Dallas Goedert, yes. Dallas Goedert is on IR with a hamstring. And I think that I wouldn't rush it back the way they're playing. They're playing the Redskins coming up this week.
I want to ask you our least
favorite field. Actually, one of your favorites, probably the worst field, is in active play is FedEx Field. But we'll get into that because it's a little bit funny.
I wanted to ask you this question.
Go ahead.
If this Eagles team, if they go on to maybe win a Super Bowl championship, do you think like Jalen Hurts is the best Eagles quarterback in franchise history? And do you think, and I'll ask you this question about this Eagles team, you've watched Eagles football for 50 years. Is this the best Eagles team you can remember to this point in the season? Or would you say 2 years ago or 2017 or a team with Andy Reid? I mean, do you think that this team is one of the best Eagles teams that you've ever seen?
I'll take those questions in sequence, and I'm going to throw it to Josh because he and I have seen a lot of Eagles football. At this point, Jalen Hurts is clearly not the best Eagles quarterback I've ever seen, and not because of his play, but because of duration, his body of work. He just hasn't played that long. Yeah. I remember Ron Jaworski playing years and years and taking hits from people like Lawrence Taylor back in the old days where the defenses were unbridled. I've never seen anybody take a greater beating than Ron Jaworski. No tougher guy. And he took him to the 80 Super Bowl. And the best Eagles quarterback for my money, a guy who never won the Super Bowl, is Donovan McNabb. And I'll tell you why. He played so long. Oh, no, 11 years maybe? So. Played 11 years. He had a great, great career. He was remarkably healthy. Much like Jalen, he was a strong runner, almost the same size. a strong thrower. People always dogged him. You know how they dogged Jalen about, they dogged Jalen that he doesn't see the whole field. They dogged McNabb that occasionally he would throw the ball straight down. And just like Mike Schmidt, they dogged him because he didn't smile. So you can look at greats. There's always something. There's always here in Philly, even amongst the greats. But I would rank them, again, as I said, McNabb, Jaworski, and Hurts. And if you're saying if Hurts wins a Super Bowl and has a 10-year career in Philly, does he have a chance to become the best Eagles quarterback of all time? The answer is yes. Josh, your opinion about quarterbacks?
Doc, I think you're spot on. Donovan McNabb was the best quarterback the Eagles ever had. Think about it, they went to four straight NFC Championships games with him. They went to a Super Bowl with him. Did he shine the brightest in the biggest of moments? No, he did not. But he was.
In fact, you might even say he might have thrown up.
Yes.
In Jacksonville. Although it's funny, much like the Zapruder film, you still don't know whether the shot came from the grassy knoll. It's still unclear whether McNabb really threw up in that Super Bowl, and I was there in Jacksonville.
But also, if they were spying on the Eagles as well. But
well, that's a whole other story. But again, you saw McNabb's career, and he wasn't particular. He wasn't entirely comfortable here.
No, he wasn't very well liked. I mean, people overlooked Donovan McNabb's success. He was a great two-way quarterback where he ran the ball pretty well with it. And he also was a good pocket passer. And let's not forget this, Doc. He never had the weapons Jalen Hurts has. Who was his weapons? James Thrash, Todd Pinkston. You're going to tell me Terrell Owens for that one solid year. But outside of that, you know. Yeah.
You're right. And even though we are friends with Freddie, Billy McMullen, who you know,
yeah.
Freddie Mitchell, you're not going to think about them in the Hall of Fame. You're going to think of T.O. and an injured T.O. with a fractured foot. And think about that. He played. And he did a lot of stuff. He did PRP just when it was coming into vogue. Yep. He did hyperbaric oxygen. He did everything he could. And T.O. played that game with a broken foot. And if the Eagles were won that game, he would have been your MVP.
And Bruce, you have on this team, you have Saquon Barkley, who's probably the best running back that the Eagles have ever had. He's probably going to be a Hall of Fame running back. A.J. Brown, like Terrell Owens, looks like he's going to be in Canton also. I would say A.J. Brown. So I agree with you about McNabb because he could throw the ball down the field stats-wise. I guess, Jaworski. I don't think Nick Foles, unfortunately, I don't think he played long enough. He's probably in the top five, maybe, Nick Foles.
I would think so, only because they don't have that many great quarterbacks. The team overall, and I remember a lot of down years.
Well, he won a Super Bowl, but then with Chip, he was decent as well, Nick Foles. But yes.
I remember Randall Cunningham. So Randall Cunningham was also, the most exciting player. Not only the most exciting quarterback, but Randall Cunningham was probably my favorite Eagles player of all time. This guy had a cannon of an arm. He punted the ball. I was at the game. He had a 91-yard punt, albeit with the wind, at Old Giant Stadium. And this guy, basically, Buddy didn't give him any help. Buddy Ryan put everything into his defense. And he basically told Randall, you just make things happen. So Randall didn't have an offensive line. He didn't have a running game. He had revolving door. But this guy was Rocket Man. He was on the Sports Illustrated Rocket Man, one of the best plays ever. Monday Night Football, on his knees. Carl Banks, Giants player, great player, throws him to the turf. And just before he hit the turf, like on one knee, throws the ball to the end zone. And that's an unbelievable play. An iconic play, if you'd like.
Well, I mean, not only that, but Randall Cunningham was probably the modern-day athlete that everyone talks about, the dual-threat quarterback. He really was, Doc. You think about him, and then you had guys shortly after, like Dante Culpepper. But let's not forget this. Randall had two careers, one in Philadelphia, and the other one was reunited up in Minnesota.
You're right. Yeah. And he could have, and he came within a game, and he had a wonderful season in Minnesota.
Randy Moss and Chris Carter, and that whole team was incredible. That's probably the best Vikings team of all time. And he's kind of like what Josh Allen is like before Josh Allen. So he was the trailblazer in that regard. But to go back to our question, I think this Eagles team could be one of the most talented because of Saquon Barkley, because of A.J. Brown, winning 10 games. I mean, to start the season, it is unbelievable to look back at the Tampa game and then to look at the difference now in the Eagles.
So I'm going to answer your second question. But before I do so, you brought up Randy Moss. And I'd be remiss to not have everybody here say prayers for Randy Moss. Randy Moss has biliary duct cancer. He just underwent a Whipple procedure, which is the state of the art. He's being treated at wonderful places. But here's a guy who's only 42 years old. This is not a good cancer. It doesn't have a good five-year survival. And this news splashed across. And I just want to say prayers, because there are, I knew a gentleman named Jimmy Panalitis who lived years and years with pancreatic cancer. He defied the odds. I think we all know him, Jimmy Panalitis. Recently passed, one of the, he sat on the wood for the Brooklyn Nets, and he has two wonderful brothers. So I just, you brought up Randy Moss, and I had to pause. I think we have to say prayers go out to Randy. He's getting great care, and I only pray that he has the wonderful outcome as Jimmy Panalitis. And now I digress to, is this the best Eagles team of all time, the best team I've seen? I would say it is, the way it's constituted for 1 year, I would say in many ways it is. I think it's the best offensive team I've ever seen, because they have a great running back who's having a great year, the best year. They have two wonderful wide receivers. They have an incredible offensive line. And they have Kellen Moore, who I think is a dynamic, wonderful offensive coordinator. And I think Nick Sirianni, to his credit, is managing this like a CEO or COO manages a large, successful corporation. He's delegating. And good leaders delegate.
They do.
And he's delegating. And the fact of the matter is, now we go to the defense. Defense does not have Reggie White. Does not have Seth Joyner. Does not have Andre Waters or Wes Hopkins. All right? Or, so as far as that is my favorite, the Buddy Ryan defense by far, and they played for years and years, they were by far my favorite defense, and they were the best defense ever. But if we're looking at the overall team, even including the punter, even including a resurgent field goal kicker in Elliott, and I'm also looking at Vic Fangio, a guy who is a chameleon, who won't even tell his – he's got secrets he doesn't share with anybody, including his own players. So I'm looking at this team. I see they have to get past Detroit. They have to get past Buffalo or Kansas City, both very formidable. And something about that Tampa Bay team, something about that guy, something about your friend there in Tampa Bay scares me a lot. That I would not necessarily want to play them in an early round, because I think they, in, to certain degrees, have our number. But I think this team is healthy, barring injury. I think this is as good a chance, if that's the proper grammar, as great a chance as I've seen for a team to win the Super Bowl, and it's pretty darn exciting.
Doc, you hit it right on the head. This is the most talented offensive team I can ever imagine the Eagles ever had. And you talk about the Buddy Ryan defense. No one will ever forget the Bounty Bowl in Dallas. Like, that was one of the most fun times. Dallas was playing Dallas during the Reggie White era, with Seth Joyner being on the team. It was incredible having that. But and that team, this defense is a lot younger. A lot less experienced. You're talking about Jalen Carter. You're talking about Quinion Mitchell. You're talking about Cooper DeJean. You're talking about Zach. Even though Zach's a little bit older, but they this is the first year of really playing.
You can
together.
See them ascending.
Yep,
this defense is ascending right in front of our eyes.
Yes.
Look at the difference between the Tampa Bay game, which was the nadir.
Yep.
When I just got comfortable with my seat, they were down 24-0, and they were 2-2. Yep. If somebody told me that they were going to win 10 straight games, I would have, and I'm not even a better, you know, I don't bet. I would have bet a lot of money, something short of my house or my cats, that they wouldn't have run 10 in a row.
Yeah, oh yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt, Doc. I just remember being in the Jacksonville game with you and seeing how many times the genius, Nick Sirianni, we thought it was a done deal. We thought at some point he was going to get fired during the season because of his antics and always going for two and the analytical approach. And that his interaction with the fans has been a disaster. People wanted him out.
Spencer, but in your memory, I would have thrown a question back to you and give you a long-form answer.
Yeah.
Is this the best Eagles team that you've ever seen?
If so, why? And if not, why? Go ahead.
I think 2022 like might even be more dominant than even 2017, because in 22 they had a smoother playoff run. In 2017, when they won it all against the Falcons, you know, Matt Ryan almost won that game. But just like the Patriots are the best team I've ever seen, but they didn't win the championship. You know, they went whatever 18-0 it was, I guess, before the Super Bowl. This team is so dominant. And the Steelers couldn't even get a first down in the first quarter. And you literally cannot stop this Eagles offense. I mean, we see good teams go to the LA Rams and have trouble. The Bills just went to LA, and the Rams were able to drop like 50 on them and beat them. So the Rams are a good football team. When the Eagles went there, the game was over in the third quarter. The game was totally over when they played the Rams. In this game, it felt like the Steelers in the second half, Najee Harris made one mistake, and the Steelers never could get the ball again. So even though Kelce is not on this team, that's what's so impressive about this offensive line. That's what's so impressive about Howie Roseman. He really is, I think, like one of the better GMs in the league and probably in the past, you know, couple of years. And you could say what you want about, you know, maybe his attitude or moxie, or, you know, maybe he's arrogant in some ways, just like Sirianni could be. But the thing is about Roseman is like Mekhi Becton looks like a great signing. DeJean and certainly Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, trading away Bryce Huff, like all these moves have panned out. Getting from the Titans A.J. Brown, because I believe that the Titans didn't like his attitude. Like you talk about A.J. Brown complaining about targets, and the Titans and Vrabel were done with it.
Well,
that's why I think, Josh, that the Titans gave him away. Wouldn't you say that, or did they not want to pay him?
I don't think they wanted to pay him, because if you look at Mike Vrabel, when they announced that he was traded, Mike Vrabel was devastated. He, as a coach, you'll deal with the attitude to a point, as long as it doesn't become a distraction. And like an Antonio Brown was a distraction. A.J. Brown,
he was literally crazy. I mean, he's probably a guy who demonstrated CTE in season.
Sure, yeah. So A.J. Brown, he may have complained, but there was a reason to. Let's not forget this. They had Derrick Henry on that team. If they had a quarterback who could throw the ball, Ryan Tannehill obviously was not the guy. But he wanted to get paid, and Howie Roseman, you know, he's a smart GM. He makes things happen.
Yeah, but sometimes the star doesn't work out. I mean, sometimes the star, like, look at Devontae Adams going to the Raiders. Like, that really, so sometimes the stars don't always pan out.
No quarterback in the Raiders.
Well, they had Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr played with I would say that this team, Bruce, it's very tough to beat. It reminds me of a couple years ago with Shane Steichen, because I think that Hurts in the short yardage is so talented. I think he's one of the more talented short yardage guys that we've ever seen, like maybe Mike Allstott, or I don't know what other player is more talented in short yardage than Jalen Hurts.
I want to welcome Charlie. How are you doing tonight?
Charlie is, I guess, getting on the line. Are we going to still talk Eagles?
Well, I just want Charlie. Charlie's on. Yes. How you doing there, Charlie?
I am well. Thank you, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we have two quick hitters that we're going to roll into our college football segment. I know that's what you have many sweet spots, but just at rapid fire, is Jalen Hurts the best Eagles quarterback ever? Is this the best Eagles team ever? I think we've all weighed in on it. We'd like to hear your opinion.
I'm curious to hear everyone's opinion, but I would say no. I would say, number one, way before our time, but you know, I didn't see him play, but you know, Norm Van Brocklin, didn't get any credit?
I'll give you credit for that. That's before my time. It's hard to get before my time. But indeed, Norm Van Brocklin, who played in that fabulous 1960 championship when I was extremely young. You could say I was an infant.
And also, honestly, I don't think he's on McNabb's level yet. I think McNabb was very underrated. Hurts is—he wins a Super Bowl. You can talk about it, but right now, I don't think I don't know what anyone else said. I'd be curious.
But you know, it's great. It's like we kept you in a soundproof room, and guess what? You got all the answers right. We picked McNabb as the best. I also picked. I mentioned Randall Cunningham as the most exciting player I've ever seen. Also,
yeah, you're right.
And I also talked about Rod Jaworski as the toughest Eagles quarterback. And back in the day, when Lawrence Taylor beat him up like a rag doll, and the fortuitive and the length of the career, people forget that he was a Los Angeles Ram. Before Jaworski came to the Eagles, He played for the Rams.
Really?
And he got beaten up there, too. And he came here and had a very...
Dick Vermeil was there?
No, that was before. No, Dick Vermeil wasn't there. John Robinson might have been there. That was a long time ago. But, Charlie, do you remember who the coach was then?
Oh, remember Roman Gabriel.
Oh, I love Roman Gabriel. Going back to the fearsome foursome, yeah. My favorite defensive line ever. Charlie, are you in that camp as well?
I go 74-76 Steelers, probably.
All right, and you are Steelers guy, and of course the steel card. How can you argue with that? And the other question, the quick question is, this team, Eagles team, could potentially win the Super Bowl. There's certainly the discussion. Are they the best Eagles team you've seen, or are there just parts of the team that are the best?
Right now, I think you have to give what the 17 team that won the Super Bowl. I think it's, I mean, obviously, I think because of the achievement and the team they beat, I think you would have to go with that team right now.
Yeah.
If the Eagles win a Super Bowl, I think this team may be more talented.
Yes.
We agree with that. And I think on the offensive side of the ball, there's no question that player for player, this is the most talented offensive team. If you look at the whole offensive line, the wide receivers, the running back, the quarterback, and the coaching from Kellen Moore, they're head and shoulders above anything else. But defensively, I hearken back to Reggie White, Seth Joyner, Jerome Brown, Trotter, and, of course, Andre Waters, the late Wes Hopkins.
Eric Allen.
Yeah. Eric Allen, as we come more recently.
And in 2017.
So nobody – that Reggie White team, this team is an ascending team. Maybe we'll speak about these quarterbacks in the same breath as we speak about Sheldon Brown and we speak about – blacking on the name, the guy you know who played with Sheldon Brown?
Not Janoris Jenkins.
Lito
Shepard.
I can sing that song, well, Lito.
It was really Boss Brian Dawkins who was so great.
There are so many epic Eagles defenses. So this defense, if they win the Super Bowl, they're going to be the discussion because you have ascending players. You have Jalen. You've got Josh Sweat, who's played great.
Yes.
But he's you know, even Josh Sweat has been there a while. Brandon Graham, of course, the longest tenured Eagle, played a large part of the season, and it's very exciting.
But I believe that there's great teams, Bruce. Like we talked about the Vikings team with Randall Cunningham not winning the Super Bowl, or the Patriots, and this road's going to be tougher. In 2017, they had to play Case Keenum and that Vikings team that was flawed. And that's why this is going to be a really fun NFC race here as we get into college football and we get into our picks.
We got 12 minutes to talk about these games coming up in college football. We're going to do rapid fire. So number one, the backup quarterback for Penn State.
Yeah.
Bo.
Fabula.
Yeah, hard to say his last name. That is certainly a topic of conversation we can speak about briefly. He had the ability to still jump in the portal after the end of the season. But I think for two reasons. One, to avert injury, and B, to have a shot at landing with one of these teams, he opted out. Wow. And it caused certain people, like the coach of SMU, to say there should not be a December portal. So that's the talk. That's today's talk. Weigh in, please, Josh.
Well, I mean, Bo Fabula grew up in New York. He was a diehard Penn State fan. I listen to James Franklin's press conference like I do every week, and someone posed that question. But the problem with the college football portal is, Doc, you have till December 30th to make the decision if you're going to enter. Now, what a lot of these guys are doing, they're being offered a ton of money because of the new NIL. And, you know, when Bo found out that Drew Aller's coming back, well, he's not going to wait another year. He has every right. He's already redshirted. So he's going into his fourth year already, and he wants to go out there, and I'm sure a team offered a bunch of money. From what I understand, the kid that just went to Auburn, Charlie, he got $2.5 million.
Jackson Arnold?
Yes. He just got $2.5 million.
Wow, and he wasn't even good at Oklahoma.
Jackson Arnold could command that.
Yeah.
A guy, this guy, 6'2", 200, veteran for a college player, this guy could command $4 million. And he doesn't want to let all these portals shut. In other words, these teams are selecting their players now.
Yeah, they want them.
And his advisors, his family, I think rightly so, are advising him to jump now.
But Josh, I really think that I thought that after the season's over, if your team goes deep in the playoffs, you could still go after the season. Well, I thought up to 15 days after the season.
What's been up to 15 days?
And I'm saying if Penn State goes on to a deep run in January, I thought he could still enter the
portal.
A lot
of these teams, because of spring semester coming up, don't want that to happen.
Because of the academic calendar. Well, I think it's very disappointing. I think unlike a lot of different quarterbacks, I think that Bo Prabula, and we'll talk about Bo in a second.
We are at the top of the hour. We are Rover Sports.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
You spoke enough. We are back. We are Rover Sports. Ed, Charlie Bowles is with us, and we want to throw that question to you. The story of the December portal, the Penn State quarterback opting out. I don't doubt that you have an opinion on both of these issues. Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, as far as the kid opting out, I mean, assuming he could opt out after the playoffs, I mean, maybe he thinks he needed to get out now to have more of a chance before a lot of the new jobs were taken. But as a teammate, how can you do that? Like, how can you turn your back on your teammates when you're trying to win a national championship? Surprisingly, I am against this, and I think the kid should await it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, and also being a part of a winning team, and it's not like he's a clipboard quarterback. I mean, he's vital, Josh, in third down conversions. He gives you that running option. He's kind of like a Taysom Hill of this entire team, and he gives this offense a dynamic. So he's very, very active. It's not like a third-string quarterback or a backup kicker. He's a very valuable piece. He could hurt Penn State going forward. And winning a championship or being a part of such a special Penn State season, he's going to regret it. I just hate to say that, but when he sees his team go on to do special things, I think he could look back on this and say, dang, I wish I would have stayed with my family in Penn State football. And he's going to be viewed for the rest of his career and life as somebody who left this team that really Bruce is favored. And we could talk about SMU. They're favored to really do special things this year, Penn State.
Yes. So we're going to, I think this is a perfect launching point because this hour is flagging. That's a good problem. Let's launch into their four games. The initial game is a Friday night game. It is a battle of the Indiana teams. It is the Indiana Hoosiers going to Notre Dame South Bend. Josh, what is the spread of this game?
Notre Dame's getting giving up 7.5. So
okay.
Indiana's getting.
And I'll go first. I believe Notre Dame has won 10 of their games in blowout fashion. This is their chance to show their home crowd that they are this good. And so for these college games, this is my lock of the week. I'm taking Notre Dame, giving the points to Indiana. Go ahead.
It's so funny because I just was in Indianapolis, and a lot of like Indiana Hoosier basketball fans are Notre Dame football fans because the Indiana football fans didn't even care. So this would be the biggest win in Indiana history if they were able to do this.
Football history.
That state just is all Notre Dame. So it's fun that it's at night, but I agree. Notre Dame has so much talent. It could end up being like Army. The thing is, could Curtis Rourke be protected? Can you protect the Indiana quarterback? I think it's going to be fun. I really do. I hope it's kind of tight. I'm going to say the first half's tight, but then I agree. I like Notre Dame double digits.
Josh.
I've never liked Notre Dame. Notre Dame's always come up small in the playoffs, and I hope they come up small on Friday night, so I'm going to Indiana.
He's going to Indiana. And by the way, I don't want to say this on camera because I have a doctor friend of mine whose husband is the biggest Notre Dame fan. So I will omit telling you about how I usually feel about Notre Dame. But having said that, I think you probably know. Colin, who do you pick in this game?
As an Irish Catholic from Delaware County, I'm just going to agree with Josh. I don't trust Notre Dame to do a thing right.
Yes. So for a guy who should be really liking Notre Dame, who's been disappointed too many times, Charlie Bowles, what do you see in this Battle of Indiana?
I see thanks, money, and I love the under, number one. The under is the play in this game all day. A Riley Leonard, who is not, you know, ever really developed to where people thought he would be, versus a Notre Dame defense who will most likely shut Indiana down. I see more of like a 23-10 score. Notre Dame wins and covers, and I think it's going to be low scoring.
Josh, next game?
Okay, so the next game I have Clemson. It's a 4 o'clock game at Texas. Texas with a big number, 11.5.
Okay. I am going to pick Texas to win the game, but that's just – there are too many points for me. Clemson has a lot to prove. The coach is one of my favorite people. My niece, Alexa, is one of my favorite people. She's a big Texas fan, as a lot of her family. So I'm not picking the Longhorns to lose. Let's be clear about that. But I'm taking Clemson with the points.
I think that I got to pick one upset this weekend, and this might be the team. This game will totally tell us where Clemson football is, because if they get blown out, then they can't compete with the big boys of the current modern transfer portal age. It'll be like Georgia. But I actually think Clemson, they were right there with South Carolina, very easily could have beat South Carolina. They still have talent. They've been there and they're experienced. I'll go upset special. I'll go Clemson to actually win this game.
I think Texas sends a message. I think they're on a mission this year, and I'll go with them.
Colin.
I agree. Texas might win the national championship. I'll take him.
Charlie.
Man, I'm right with Colin on everything he said. Texas smokes Clemson.
El Smoko. Joshy, right. Third game.
I think this game is obviously the game of the weekend. Tennessee travels to Ohio State. The last time Ohio State was playing, they lost to Michigan at home. They were calling for Ryan Day's head. Charlie, if Ryan Day loses, does he survive Sunday?
Yeah, Charlie, how about, does he survive if he loses?
No. No.
I concur.
If he loses Sunday, no.
I concur. If he loses in the first round. So what is the spread of this particular contest?
Tennessee's getting 7.5.
Okay. I believe this is a statement game for Ryan Day. Tennessee is a really good home team. They don't necessarily travel well, and they have a lot of talent. I just see this as an Ohio State grinded out 2-touchdown win. I'm taking the Buckeyes in this contest.
I think it could be lock of the week, could be Ohio State, because I feel the public's going to be all over Tennessee. And Tennessee similarly like went to Georgia. I think it's very similar to actually Georgia and Ohio State this year. The Ohio State defense is tremendous, and you have a young quarterback who isn't the most consistent player in the world. Ohio State can run the football, be nasty at night, and I just think like this is a game that's going to surprise people with Ohio State by double digits.
Josh?
I think Chip Kelly and Ryan Day get tight again, and I think Tennessee ekes one out.
Ooh, wow, that's a good – I'd like to see that, actually. I'm not an Ohio State fan. It's no secret there. Colin, what do you see in this particular game?
I think Ohio State can bounce back from this. I like him this week.
Charlie?
I think everything will be fine until the first time they go 3-and-out and the fans turn on Ohio State. They'd be better off on the road, as angry as the fans are. I think this is a very close game. The 7.5, I'll take.
Taking the Vols. And now we take the Penn State-SMU game.
So
is game 4 in Happy Valley. A large portion of our listeners, including you, sir, are big Penn State fans. What is the spread? How many are you giving those Mustangs?
8.5.
Giving them 8.5.
Josh, are you disappointed this is a night game?
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to play at night when it's supposed to be 11 degrees with a wind chill factor near zero. That's what they're saying. Yeah. So
it's a noon game.
It's a noon game.
I'll jump in and I'll say I believe the weather is a factor. This SMU team hasn't played in front of that kind of a crowd, 120,000 people. In that weather, that whiteout is going to be a blitzkrieg. And SMU is a fun Cinderella team. They're a finesse team. They're a fast team. They're a well-coached team. But I think Penn State is going to dominate on both sides of the ball, albeit losing their second quarterback, Drew Aller. And Warren, your tight end number 44, all everything. I think this is a time for Penn State to shine because they've got their eyes on the national championship. And I think they're going to roll. I think they're going to grind it out. It might not be a pretty game, but it will be a game where they win and cover.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kevin Jennings, the quarterback of SMU. This is a game, though, that Penn State just at home, like I saw them against Washington this year, and they dominated. Or even Illinois was a top 25, and it's tough when you're a big underdog to go into Penn State. And the defense, I think that Oregon sliced them apart, so the defense, Josh, could probably get right. So I'll take Penn State. What do you think about this game, Josh? Are you worried about SMU? I mean, I guess you're a huge fan. You're worried about
anybody. You've seen too many times what James Franklin has Franklin to bet.
I'm a Philadelphia fan and a Penn State diehard, so there's always reason to worry. James Franklin, 0-12 against top 10 teams, and you know, right now, do I have reason to worry? I think they win this one. I think they'll run the ball consistently. The defense is led by Abdul Carter. He's playing out of his mind. I don't know if they'll have an answer for Tyler Warren. It'll be interesting to see how many packages Andy Kulicki dials up without Bo Pribula. But hopefully Drew Aller and the boys step forward and cover. And actually, I don't care if they cover as long as they win.
Of course, of course. Colin, what do you see? This could be an interesting contest here in PA. So many good games this weekend. I can't wait. What do you see?
I just can't ignore that recent track record in big games like Josh is talking about. I do think Penn State wins. I won't take them to cover, though.
Charlie, interesting game, I'm sure. No doubt you'll be watching this game with interest. What do you see this game? What do you SMU? These are two teams that haven't played in how many years? Spent 12 years?
I don't know. Actually,
don't know. That's you rarely get an I don't know answer. I don't know if ever these two teams have no reason to play ever.
But they do have a reason, ball game.
But they have a reason to play now. Charlie, what's your breakdown of this game?
I wish I knew what team showed up, the SMU from the first half against Clemson or the second. If anything, I'd be looking at Penn State cover the line in the first half. I think that'd probably be the safer bet. But I think in the end, again, the weather will definitely play a factor. These kids coming up from Texas, again, that's kind of what happened in the first half of Clemson. But the James Franklin factor may bite them in the ass. I think it's going to be at the very least, tighter at the end than people think.
We are going to have a clear line of demarcation for Mr. Vito. We are now moving into the second part of our show, which is one of your favorites, Rovers, the Fearless Picks. And we're going to run right to the finish. We are sprinting. We got our track shoes on right now, and it's a fast field. Let's get right into the Fearless Picks.
You know, Charlie, it's so funny. You go from last week was a terrible bunch of games. This week couldn't be any better. I mean, we're talking about playoff matchups. Denver, 9-5, who I think has been a surprise team all year, obviously with the rookie quarterback playing as well as he is, at the L.A. Chargers, who are 8-6. The Chargers, -3 is the line for Thursday
night. And the game is in L.A.?
L.A.
Now, I think this is a tough game to pick.
It is.
Because I see a lot to like about the Chargers. Their coach, Herbert. As far as our guy Bo Nix, who is our guy, he's been prone to interceptions. I'm going to have to pick. And so Denver is getting 3.5?
Three.
Okay. I'm going to pick the Chargers in the game. I'm going to pick the Chargers this game. I'll just leave it at that. Go ahead, Spence.
We also, Sertan, the best corner for Denver. I wonder if he's going to play in this game under short, you know, because it's a short week. But guess what? I saw Tampa roll the Chargers last week with Baker Mayfield throwing 4 touchdowns. So I think this is Denver's time. I think Denver gets right. I think Denver's just a better football team than the Chargers. The Chargers are playing inconsistent football. So I really like Denver in this spot to win the game outright.
Another team that I'm absolutely surprised about is how well the Chargers have played all year. You know, losing Keenan Allen, but they find ways to win. So I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Colin.
I'm going to go with the Chargers cover here also.
Charlie?
Sorry about that. Yeah, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't drop that football, I mean, you probably have a whole different outcome in Denver on Sunday. That being said, I don't know what the Chargers, I watched some of that game on Sunday. I don't know what I was watching. I think Justin Herbert's one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. Bo Nix, again, had a really bad game on Sunday as well, but I still think in the end it's going to be who makes more mistakes. I think Denver will pull it out. I'll take Denver.
So, Charlie, what you're saying is these aren't Super Bowl teams in your eyes?
No, not even close.
Okay.
The team that went into San Diego, maybe.
So here we go. This is another interesting matchup. Houston, 9-5, travels to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes likely out because of his Achilles, because of an ankle injury. They're +2. Kansas City at home getting points.
What time's the game?
Carson Wentz.
Is it 1 o'clock?
Okay. So there is a resurrection of the squirrel, the water boy. That's his name, Carson Wentz.
Resurrection?
Resurrection. I am not picking the Chiefs in this game because I've seen Wentz. I believe that Mahomes, if, like he even said, the game doesn't matter that much. Mahomes literally said that today. It's not a crucial game. If it was a crucial game, he'd be playing. So I think you will see the water boy, and I'm picking against the Chiefs. Go ahead.
I think that even water boys, you know how even squirrels find an acorn? Well, even water boys can find success. And I look at Carson Wentz, and I think that he's been planning and preparing for this moment. I think the whole team's going to rally. The defense, when your backup's in, your defense plays a little bit harder. This Houston team isn't some incredible and movable force. And that's why I love the Chiefs defense at home 1 o'clock with the weather. So I like the Chiefs to win anyway.
Give me Justin. Give me Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, and hopefully CJ Stroud can get right. And I like them.
Colin.
I'm going to go Texans out right here.
Taking the Texans with CJ Stroud against the water boy, Carson Wentz. It seems like Colin has seen enough of number 11. Charlie.
I think Mahomes plays on Saturday, and I think that I will never bet against Patrick Mahomes when he plays. I will be simple as that. I'll take Kansas City.
You're right. And Mahomes has played. And you remember that bad ankle in that Super Bowl? I don't know what that trainer did. He shot him up with some of those horse tranquilizers, medically speaking. But if he put some of that salve, some of that greasy stuff, and roll it up with a lot of tape, that Mahomes may just get out there. Next game.
Pittsburgh heads down the I-95 and takes on Baltimore. So the Baltimore is -6. Lamar Jackson.
They're giving Pittsburgh 6.
Yeah, giving Pittsburgh 6.
For me, this is my pro lock of the week. I really like the Steelers. I think the Steelers kind of knew. Everybody knew that it was not a must-win last week. And the Steelers were looking ahead against this game against the Ravens. And if the Steelers win, they clinch a playoff spot against their rivals. Also, when I saw the Ravens, there's something that just didn't look right about them. So I am picking the Steelers, taking all those points, and this is my lock of the week. Go ahead, Spence.
I think it's a good pick. I mean, I know it's a revenge spot. Tomlin seems to do well against Lamar Jackson. And the Steelers know the Ravens. They don't know the Philadelphia Eagles like they know the Baltimore Ravens. So I love it. It's a tight divisional AFC North battle. Going to be ugly.
Who you take?
You definitely take the points, the Steelers.
Okay, Josh.
You know, I'm not sure what Pittsburgh has. So I'm gonna roll with Baltimore. Lamar Jackson at 5
Baltimore.
Touchdowns.
Certainly, they didn't have a lot on offense. Either the Eagles' defense was impenetrable. But if you look at that Pittsburgh offense in the first half, that was the worst showing against the Eagles all year. So I can see rationale for taking the Ravens. Colin.
I like the Ravens here. I think the line tells you something. Ravens cover.
Charlie.
Without George Pickens, as much as I hate him and he's a cancer, they're just a different team. I think Baltimore wins and covers.
Yeah, Charlie, it's interesting about Pickens. I mean, the guy was like, it was like almost like this. The injury wasn't as serious as once it is, but now all of a sudden this will be the third week he's out. Correct?
Yeah, I think he's not. I don't think he's scheduled to play, but I guess he could. That will change everything, I guess, if he does. But if he's not playing, I think Baltimore. I don't think Steelers can score to keep up with him.
Who? I mean, what is the injury? Is it a calf?
Hamstring.
Hamstring.
Oh. Okay. So
tricky hamstring injury. What game is this, Josh?
This is game number 4.
Game number 4. That's good. We're proceeding. We've got about 5 minutes, and we're proceeding at a fast pace.
Speaking of seeded teams that are having great years, how about the Minnesota Vikings? 12-2, travel to Seattle. Seattle, +3.5 at home.
Okay. I saw Geno Smith. He might be out. I mean, I saw him who was injured in the game. With or without Geno Smith, I'm taking the Vikings in this game. I feel confident that they're having a really good year. And a lot of times I don't pick Seattle. When I don't, they almost always bite me. So yeah, this might just be Groundhog Day for me. What do you see, Spence?
I can't stand Seattle either.
I trusted Seattle, and they burned me to a pulp, if that's a
to
word.
A pulp.
To a pulp.
They,
like a pulp.
They ground you to a pulp.
The
pulp burned you to something.
Burned me to... I mean, they are the most unpredictable team ever, Seattle. I mean, that game against Green Bay wasn't close. So it's so frustrating that we have to pick the Seahawks again. Because it's like flipping a coin. I am going... I'll take Minnesota, but Seattle will win, and I'll be wrong. I'll take the Vikings, though.
Put taking the Vikings in the game. Josh?
Justin Jefferson. Sam Darnold's going to be a $50 million quarterback after it's done. I mean, they got to keep pace with the Detroit Lions. I'm taking Minnesota.
Josh, they maybe should have kept Sam over Brock Purdy, right? San Francisco.
Oh.
How crazy is that to think about?
Sam didn't even have a cup of coffee in San Francisco.
How crazy is that to think about?
I think... Honestly, you can't be retrospective with that. Darnold had a complete reemergence.
I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback.
And he was seeing ghosts in for the Jets, but most people do. Colin.
I like the Seahawks to keep it close. I'll take them with the points.
Charlie, what do you see in this game of charlatans and masqueraders?
I think, again, it's a quarterback player situation. If Geno Smith plays, I will be on Seattle. If not, I don't think there's any way Seattle can win. But if Geno Smith plays, I'm assuming he is, it looks like he could. I'll go to Seattle.
So you're going to take Seattle. The pick is in.
It's Seattle. All right, so for every great game we've had this week, I figure we throw a dud in there. Jacksonville, 3-11.
I love it.
At Las Vegas, 2-12. The battle of the number one overall pick bowl right here.
And the game is so in. Where
it's
is
it? It's in Vegas. The Raiders are getting +1.
Okay, oh my God. I believe Jacksonville is truly the worst team in the league, and the Raiders are the second worst team. Neither team really wants to win this game, but I believe that Doug Peterson is thinking a lot more about TPC Sawgrass than he will be thinking about this game. He is done. He is a dead man walking. He will not be coaching the team next year. In a game that will be largely unwatchable, maybe take the under. I don't know what the spread, what the over-under is, but neither one of these teams want to score. I'm taking, in this toilet bowl of a game that you served up so beautifully, I will take the Vegas Raiders in this contest.
I hope the Raiders win because that could have draft implication. But the thing is, Bruce, I think that the Jags, I think they play great football. I mean, the Jags-Jets game was the best game, one of the best games of the whole week. I mean, I think this game's going to be a lot of fun. Mac Jones, he threw
you
a couple touchdowns.
Jones. He's another guy that you do love.
Mac Jones is big-time good. Mac Jones is coming to Vegas to the star.
Good. I've never heard anybody say that. Even his mother doesn't
Mac
say
Jones,
that.
Mac Jones, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the history of college football. And in the
college,
NFL,
I'm glad you qualified.
He's
that.
Rookie of the year. He was a Pro Bowler. Nobody would have succeeded under the Patriots wide receivers. The team is competing. And
so you're taking Jacksonville.
And Doug's not fired yet. Doug's still fighting.
He's still coaching,
and he's going to win.
Josh,
hey Charlie, real quick. By the Raiders not throwing the ball to Brock Bowers, the NFL Rookie of the Year. Do you think there was some tanking going on last night? Because I certainly do.
He's the best tight end in football right now.
Yeah, hands down. And they didn't get him the ball at all.
Tankowski.
Yeah. I mean,
the Sixers, we know something about that. Who do you take in this wonderful contest?
Someone sounds angry about fantasy football.
Go ahead.
I'm taking Jacksonville. I think Doug Peterson wants to go out on a bang.
Okay. Colin?
I'll just go with the home team. Why not, Raiders?
Yeah, really. An unwatchable game. Charlie, in this wonderful contest, I'm sure you're putting a lot of shekels on this game, right? I don't think so.
There's an angle. There'll be an angle somewhere. But it
hasn't presented itself yet, but there will be an angle.
I just can't bet on Mac Jones traveling cross country after, you know, close game at the Jets. Now they got to pack up and go across to Vegas. Young kids are going to be out all night. Give me the Raiders.
He uses the young kids in Vegas angle. He uses the fact that it is a city with debauchery. And on that, it leads us into that wonderful NFC East battle.
Your Eagles.
In our last 2 minutes, we are going to have to go rapid fire. What is the spread?
3.5. The Washington Redskins are getting 3.5 at home.
Wow. Okay. I do believe the Eagles can rest a lot of players this game. They could even look past this game. And they will win by more than 3.5 points. It's not my lock of the week, but I'm taking the home team to run downhill in a sewage-filled FedEx Stadium. What say you, Spence?
Well, I know the public's going to be all over the Eagles, and that the line is 3.5, so it's telling you that the Redskins are going to be competitive, but the Eagles are just, they're a covering machine, so they're probably going to win by like 10 points in this game.
Josh?
I'm taking Eagles.
Colin?
Birds win and cover.
Birds win. And in our last minute, we have Charlie to look at this game. Obviously, on the heels of that Steelers game, do you see the Skins? Do they have anything there? How do you see this game?
Number one, real quick, the Super Bowl pick I put in this weekend, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 30-1, fine value. There's value there. They beat both of these teams by 17 points, by the way, just for the record. Again, I think Washington's overrated. I don't think they don't have the horses that Philly does. Philly won't be affected by that crowd. I think Philly wins and covers. I'm not an Eagle fan. I think Philly's superior.
So we have come to the end of our show. I want to thank our producers, Colin Newby behind the glass, Matt Vito, our videographer. I want to thank all the participants, and most importantly, all the Rovers out there in Roverland. And as I always say, good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.